from wine country to the rolling hills and meadows, olive trees and presses in the Mediterranean Sea, the beautiful country of Italy. And yet, God has called this man who's in front of me right now. His name is Renato Giuliani.
Giuliani,
just like I didn't say, to go there and be a missionary to Italy. How long have you been over there, my brother?
About 25 years.
25 years. How did you end up called there? How did you get saved?
Well, that was a long time ago. I was born in 1966 in Rome, Italy. And my mother was a nominal Catholic. My father devoted to the Communist Party. So there was this sort of breeding, both religious and political, in our family. And but my father had been an early orphan in his life, and he had gone to, it was sent at the age of 10, right after his father died, to a Catholic boarding school run by priests. And that's where he really learned to dislike the church. And so during the 60s, he turned to politics. But I think there was in my father's life a huge void because of the lack of affection and the losses. And so when an independent Baptist missionary family from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, came to live right across the street, they had studied Piedmont Bible College here. And my father was really the first one to say, you know, I'd like to study the Bible with you. Mm-hmm. And there was an emptiness, you know, a meaninglessness in his life that he had to fill in some way. And so my father actually wasn't really saved after a long time after that. But that got us started, you know. That was 1977.
Wow.
1976 and 1977. That's where when I began at the age of 10, 11 years old to attend Bible studies, you know. But I was only converted in 1981 when reading through the gospel, the Sermon on the Mount in my room, when it seemed that the Lord really x-rated my soul, showing me that sin was so eradicated. It wasn't just a matter of doing an action that was evil. It was a matter of what I desired, what really defined me was what I desired. And if that was true, as it was true, I was lost in desperate need of Christ. And only His cross and His sacrifice and His Holy Spirit, you know, could save me. And so I cried out, and I was 15 years of age at the time. And that's how my Christian walk started. In 1985, I went for a year of military service. It was mandatory. And that was an important year for many reasons. The major one was that I began to have a real thirst for the Word of God as never before, and to study and to go in a deeper understanding of things, reading good literature and evangelizing. I remember it on, you know, the military base and several friends. And so my real passion used to be music, you know, what I thought would be my career. And I wanted to be a songwriter and a singer. And but the Lord began to really change me and make my lifetime passion Himself and His Word, and the spreading of His Word, both to the saved and the lost. And by the time I was 22 years of age, 1988, I become convinced that God had called me to the ministry. So it wasn't a revelation or a dream. It was an unquenching imperative.
Wow.
You know, that I,
and somehow you ended up in Italy all these years serving Christ, leading people to Christ there. I mean, how did you go there?
I was born and raised there.
Okay, so that's full circle.
All of this took place there. And I ended up marrying the missionary's daughter, Cherise Stump.
No kidding. How about that? Wow.
And so that was in 1989. And then that year, January, we were married at Salem Baptist Church here in town, and began to attend Piedmont. And your mother actually was one of our teachers, English. And so after about 5 years, you know, of study there, 1994, we went back to the field and began to work, supported by about 20 churches and some families. And So that's how it started.
So the voice you're hearing is Renato Giuliani.
Yes, okay. Giuliani.
I'm getting better. Bonjour. See, I know a little bit of Italian myself. And he is with me on Truth Talk Weekend, and we're so glad he's here. He is full-time in Italy as a missionary with his family. And tell us a little bit about your work. I mean, what do you do in Italy? I mean, everyone's probably thinking, well, Italy, I mean, that's goodness gracious. I mean, you know, biggest religion, one of the biggest religions in the world's over there. Why do they need a missionary to go over and talk about God?
Right. Yeah, that depends on your perspective, what the gospel is.
Okay.
So it's really, it's different to talk about Roman Catholicism in academic terms or abstract terms. If you have been a Roman Catholic and you actually lived in Rome, we just did not know the gospel. We have been taught that salvation was through the sacraments and through confessions and through all the different means that they point us to as instruments of, you know, salvation, especially the church, you know. And but we had no knowledge of sola gratia, you know, that was by grace alone, through the simple embracing of a broken heart, you know, this free gift that we are actually saved and reconciled to God. Not as an easy escape from hell, but as a revolutionary message that changes the life and the purpose of life. And that was not something that we knew. We didn't know really the gospel, though we were somewhat religious, you know, as many people. What have we been doing there? Well, I think the answer is the vision of a missionary cannot be understood unless one understands the overall situation, the bigger picture. And the bigger picture in Italy is that Italy has 60 million people population, and about 70% professes to be Catholics. The rest is pretty much ideologically towards the left. So we have also strong atheistic, relativistic ideology that dominates the culture at this point. So I would say Roman Catholicism dominates the formal life of the people in their habits, you know. But ideologically, I think that people in India are very much dominated by a very godless view of you know, life and living. And so there's plenty of work. With 60 million people, there's actually only about 400,000 people that claim to be evangelicals, very broadly speaking.
Would you say 60 or 16 million people?
60 million.
Wow. And so out of that, there's only how many born-again Christians?
Yeah, that's quite a statement, born again. If we mean that not as a slogan but as a reality, the thing, you know, boils down to this. 400,000 means what is 0.6% of 60 million. But you see, half of that, about 200,000, are liberal in their theology. You know, liberal meaning a very basic denial of the most essential
right.
truths of Christianity.
I may not believe the whole Bible is real and all that stuff, right?
Well, I mean, there's a denial of the Trinity,
yeah.
the atonement of Christ, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, and
wow.
inspiration of Scripture, as far as inerrancy, you know. But that amounts to about half of that, more than half of that.
Okay, so you're over there. Well, tell us what you're doing. You and your wife, your family, are you working with the church to lead people to Christ? Are you doing some, it looks like you're doing some publishing. You've handed me some really cool books here today.
Yes, I think I look at our ministry as two-faced. I mean, we have a ministry that's local,
mm-hmm.
with a local church, and so evangelism and pastoral ministry in Rome, Italy. At the same time, because of the overall situation, there's such a need to strengthen the small remnant.
Yes.
that we have been really working for many, many years now, you know, decades. for printing sound literature that will strengthen the church theologically. One other thing I think that is strangling the Christian community in Italy, the evangelical community, is actually from within. And what I'm talking about is what I was saying earlier. I think there's been what Spurgeon would say, a downgrade, slide, theologically. I will consider the Reformation as the golden era, you know, of Christian theology. And then there's been a slow, especially since the Enlightenment, a slow downgrade, slide, to where we have slowly but surely abandoned the core doctrines of the Christian faith. And I think the two forces that have really undermined the Christian witness are, on one end, liberalism, and on the other, well, I would say, emotionalism.
Yeah. Help us understand that a little better when we come back. Renato Giuliani, a missionary in Italy, is going to tell us more about what God's doing in Italy and how we can pray for him specifically when we come back on Truth Talk Weekend. Learn more about us at Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook as well. Hang on, don't touch that dial. Back on Truth Talk Weekend, I'm Stu Epperson. What's it like to go to Italy? It's a beautiful place, full of all kinds of amazing agriculture, and they call it wine country, and some of the best food in the whole wide world, the olive oil, the marinara, the pasta. Yet, there are a lot of people in Italy that need Jesus. That's why Renato Giuliani and his family's there, and he's with me right now on Truth Talk Weekend. I grabbed him after our Wednesday in the Word at Dario. You hear some music behind you, hear men fellowshipping, that's why. But Renato, we had a good time this morning, huh, with all these guys?
Wonderful time, an encouragement time, you know, time of encouragement and challenging for our commitment to Christ. I was very, very happy I came.
Well, we're glad you came, and this basically is, you're trying to take the Word of God to Italy, to 60 million people.
Yes.
Very small percentage of those people are born-again Christians, and there's an attack within the church, emotionalism, and this thing you mentioned, liberalism. And so you're trying to go in and say, look, here is Jesus. Let's pursue him.
Exactly. Let me explain what I mean by liberalism. So just last year, 2017, a Bible was translated and published, the New Testament, called the Bibbia della Riforma, the Bible of the Reformation. This was sponsored by some major evangelical, quote-unquote, groups in Italy. But if you read the content, it's like if you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, where the Bible would say that Jesus was born of Mary.
Right.
So he is both God and man. He's the God incarnate. The Bible actually ends up saying, that translation ends up saying, that Jesus was born of Joseph's seed and not of Mary. And in the same chapter, that Bible took away the word virgin and replaced it with the word young woman.
So they crept in and they took the Bible, they perverted different parts of it, just very subtly.
Yes, as I began to read that version of the New Testament, I found place after place where it's been systematically mistranslated with a very liberal mindset in the background. You can very well tell. But the problem is that the groups that sponsor that Bible, the Waldensians and the Lutherans and the Methodists and some liberal Baptists, you know, they do call themselves evangelicals. And this New Testament is being sold now, as it happens, in evangelical bookstores. And so I think one of the evils is this indifferentism towards the truth of Scripture. If we don't speak out,
right,
if we don't put some boundaries,
right,
and some, you know, distinguishing marks as to what the gospel is, what the Scripture is, What hope is there for the remnant to be a voice?
And you started Truth and Life Publishers, which basically does that. You're putting solid Christian literature Bibles in print in both Italian and English?
Yeah, let me tell you what the purpose of that is. I mean, we've been printing there for 25 years, and we are printing both for the church, and I'm talking good commentaries, Martin Lloyd-Jones, you know, John MacArthur, and some very good authors, in all aspects of the Christian faith and life. But we're also been publishing books oriented towards some social moral issues that are devastating our culture. You know, Gresham Machen would say in his early letters that if you let a nation be dominated by secular ideologies and they go unchallenged, even ideologically, conceptually, then we can manage perhaps to see the conversion of some straggler here and there, but we do need to also be engaged in that moral, social area that, and it's everywhere in America as well, I can see. But the needs are so many, even when it comes to literature, that we thought of a way to generate funds to be able to translate more and more literature that will have an impact in Italy. And a way to do that is to begin a publishing house here in America. So it's based in Winston-Salem, it's Truth and Life. And what was Truth and Life about? Well, I spent about 30 years in Italy going through archives to try to find remnant literature of the Italian Reformation, the reformers, the martyrs, the diaries, the letters, although the people that were killed for the name of Christ. And Truth and Life has a purpose to publish good and healthy literature. Amen. For the benefit of the American Christians. And you know, we are Baptistic in faith, so our good brethren, the Presbyterians, have been very good at bringing and unearthing, you know, their wonderful heritage. I'm talking about Puritan literature, and and we would like to do really the same for Baptists. I mean, the Baptists have a tremendous theological heritage from the past. I'm talking about 17th century, the Pilgrim Baptist.
Right, that's right.
And so this is, for example, one of the series that we publish for Truth and Life is Baptist Heritage Series. And in the back of it is the Baptist Heritage Series aims at republishing in updated language and format valuable books written by Baptist authors in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century. It is based on the conviction that the recovery of these lost treasures will contribute to the theological and spiritual reformation so much needed in contemporary Christianity. So
that's wonderful, man.
And of course, we also print evangelistic literature. This is But God is one of our pieces. This is a 24-page sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones. God, yes.
Ephesians chapter 2, right?
Chapter 2, yeah.
Those are the two most profound words in the Bible, But God.
Yeah, and for a long time, you know, I felt that this very, 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 very small track, like one, two pages, with very little substance. That age is past. We are at a point where we need to, and we have always been in the need to communicate a message of substance that would have some substance, so that Jesus is not just a word, and being born again is not just a slogan, but it's a real meaningful truth.
The importance of sound doctrine, communicating in print and in sermons. Now, you're working with a church, and how can our listeners pray for your ministry in Italy? Renato Giuliani, him and his family have been ministering in Italy for 25 years, serving Christ. He was born there, got saved in America. Neat story how he and his family came and to the Bible College, Piedmont International University is what it's called now. Mom was one of your teachers back then. Now you're serving the Lord through printing press, through preaching the gospel. How can we pray for you?
There's really much to pray. Pray for us individually that we be faithful to the Lord. That's the first thing for myself and my wife, Cherie. Pray for the church. I think behind the ministry, there must be a strong church. And a strong church can only be if there's some strong families. So we believe in the centrality and the responsibility of the local church. So not in individualistic work of somebody, some person, some name, but there must be a community behind you and with you that prays and works with you. So pray for our local church in Rome, and pray for all these different activities and works, you know, that the Lord has burdened us about. The spreading of the gospel, the pastoral ministry locally, but also nationally, with the printing, that this wonderful theological, practical literature that we print will really benefit the evangelical remnant that will be strengthened. There will be a theological reformation and a spiritual revival in the hearts of us all. And pray also for this. I think this is very important. Just let me quickly tell you about two books that we will be publishing in the next few weeks. One is Richard Weikart's From Darwin to Hitler.
Oh, a good one, yeah.
Yeah, he's a professor of European history at the University of California.
Sure.
And he will actually be with us in June to present this book. And the wonderful thing about the book is it doesn't really deal with the scientific issue of Darwinism, but more about the moral implications and consequences of Darwinistic ideology through history.
Wow.
And it From Darwin to Hitler. I mean, the title almost says it all.
Yeah, awesome.
And so that book really is intended not only for Christians, but for the public at large to have an impact, ideology, and show where atheism leads if you follow to its logical results. And so we'll be presenting that book in June at the University of Rome, La Sapienza, and Lord willing also at the Jewish Community Center, Cultural Center in Rome, because the book also deals with the Holocaust, and also there's a book I wrote concerning the Gnostic origin of the cult of Mary. That it's actually it's going to be a 300-page book.
Well, that'll fly big in Italy, there.
Oh, wow.
But it's really to help the hundreds of millions of people. Hopefully, perhaps it'll be translated in English as well, to understand this whole thing about the worship of Mary, how misguided it is. You know how the truth is in Christ. You know, and but what are the roots of the dogmas?
Right.
Of the Marian cult, you know, where do they come from? What do they imply? What do they mean? So,
what's the best website people can learn more and pray more about for your ministry?
Okay, in Italian, we have a website. It's Passaggio Edizioni, and then in English, it's Truth and Life Publishers on the website .com.
Okay.
Right.
Truth and Life Publishers.com. Thank you for your ministry, man. We're out of time for the segment. Truth Talk. We can learn more. We'll tweet some things out about you and get you on our social media too, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Renato Giuliani, reach people for Christ, whether it's here in America or in Italy, wherever God calls you, to gather people into the harvest, right?
Yes.